Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
A man was sharing with his friends that he and his wife were now empty nesters, and he said that the worst part of this stage of life, after the children had left home, he said, was that some wives would begin to treat their husbands like children. So for example, he said, "When we go to the supermarket and I reach for the cereal, my wife slaps my hand and says, 'We don't need that this week.' And then later on, I reach for the ice cream and she gently slaps my hand and says, 'No, we don't need that either this week.' And then when I reach for the bag of chips and chocolate bar, down the best aisle, of course, once more she slaps my hand gently and she says, 'No, not that either. We definitely don't need that.'" Now, by this stage, the man says he is so frustrated that he hops out of the supermarket trolley and goes to the car to sulk. Growing old is not the most funniest thing in the world, but it sure does make us laugh sometimes, especially if you've ever cared for elderly parents. It's been said that one benefit of old age is that your secrets are always safe with your friends because they can't remember them. Welcome to the second Bible talk on the last chapter of the weird, wacky, wonderful wisdom book of Ecclesiastes. Perhaps you might have forgotten, so let's remind ourselves again of chapter 12, verses 1 to 8.
"Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' before the sun and the light, and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the doors of song are brought to low, they are afraid also of what is high, and the terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity."
In the last Bible talk, I unpacked for us this ageless poem about aging. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 8 gives us an honest look about growing old, and it uses the simple illustration of an aging home in disrepair, highlighting for us the brevity of life and the reality of death. And we ended with a New Testament reminder, with our gospel glasses on, that placing a firm trust in the gospel of grace as we grow older and therefore closer to eternity, when we do that, we find that the Lord Jesus is preparing a home for us that will never crumble or collapse or be condemned, and that the forever young cry of our hearts is actually realized when we hold firm to the promise that in the new heaven and the new earth we'll be given new bodies and new minds. We'll be given an eternal dwelling place with no more sickness or suffering or sin, no more disease or decay or death, and that one day there'll be nothing to make us feel sad or sorry or scared. But until then, we reside in this earthly tent, having to deal with storms that come along, that blow in and sometimes rip our canvas tent of a body, and the pegs that don't hold very well in the ground come up, and zips that don't actually zip up at all. But I ended the last Bible talk by doing a disservice to us all, because we didn't really dwell too much on how the chapter begins. You see, it's all vanity of vanities, hevel, meaninglessness, if we leave out verse 1 of chapter 12. "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, to which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" In other words, before the painful truths of verses 2 to 7 come upon us, before you sit down in the theatre to watch the 35-second Samuel Beckett play called Breath, and feel ripped off about your ripped up ticket. And before you get your Medicare card out one final time, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, of course, it's a word to the youth. At the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, the teacher speaks about youth four times. And so the teacher's final instruction is mainly addressed to young people. But maybe those who understand all this the best are actually the older ones. I really like what Douglas O'Donnell reminds us here when he writes, "I don't think it's exclusively about teenagers, but inclusively everyone. Everyone who isn't dead or dying." You might have heard wisdom from the world that says youth is for pleasure, middle age for business, old age for religion. But the Bible says, and Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1 says, youth, middle age, and old age is for your Creator. So while you listen, and perhaps some of you are not in the days of your youth, like this very preacher man himself, while some of you might be in the middle age category, or others of you in your senior twilight years, wherever you stand, this timeless application still applies for you, unless, of course, you're dead, in which case, stop listening and enjoy the heavenly choir that surrounds you. So let's focus on this application, whether you're 16, 26, 46, or 86. But maybe if you're 106, it's time to turn off and have a good lie down, but don't take a Bex, if you're old enough to know what I'm talking about. And the call here for all of us is to remember our Creator. Not remember to not forgive, to forget, because your memory will soon fade to mush. That's true, of course. But remember is really a call to consider these things well. Remember to reflect often on these matters, to ponder and pray about these things, to be intentional and deliberate in thinking about your Creator. So consider well and concentrate often on the reality that God is your Creator. The teacher will go on to remind us in verse 14, the very last verse in this book, that we will do well also to remember God is our judge. So chapter 12 is really about remembering the first and last books in our Bibles, to remember Genesis, our Creator, and remember Revelation, our judge. But here at the start of chapter 12, he takes us back to our Maker, back to the truth of Genesis 1-2, back to the truth that we're not self-sufficient, and that we actually need our Creator to bring about life and also to sustain life, however long he determines that to be for you and me. And here at the start of chapter 12, the teacher commands us to be mindful of our Creator God across our entire lives and through every season of life. The teacher commands us to let go of any pretense of self-sufficiency or self-reliance, and to get rid of any illusion of independence from God, and to remember he's placed eternity in our hearts. And now to throw ourselves upon the mercy and kindness of God as our potter. Chapter 12, verses 1-8, is a reminder that our lives will swiftly pass. Amy Grant sings a very personal song about her teenage son who grew up almost overnight because of one single event that happened to him. The song's called Shovel in Hand, and it's about a funeral of a young friend of Amy Grant's son who dies unexpectedly. She sings, "Life can change in the blink of an eye. You don't know when and you don't know why. Forever young is a big fat lie for the one who lives and the one who dies. I watched my son, shovel in hand, go from bulletproof boy to a full-grown man. The cool, dark dirt on the casket lands. 19 years old and he's burying a friend. Oh, goodbye two boys. Hello, one man." Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is a reminder that our lives will swiftly pass, like many psalms often tell us. And it's important, crucial, therefore, to hone in on what really matters. And if you can do that early in life, in your youthfulness, then you'll be so much better prepared for the day when the keepers of the house tremble and those who look through the windows are dimmed. The teacher will tell us, "You're a great fool if you spend your life merely looking to your physical well-being without ever looking to your Creator for your spiritual vitality." A Christian author and pastor Chuck Swindoll gets it right when he says, "We are not ready to live until we're ready to die." Can you remember back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11? God, our Creator, has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to the end. It's a reminder from chapter 3 and also in chapter 12 that across the entire face of God's good earth, there really are no true atheists. There are only those who suppress the truth and who ignore the reality that God is our maker and that He's made us for eternity. And if we reach these telling truths early in our youth, then our lives will be so much better for it. And by way of personal testimony, I will be forever grateful that in my youth at university, God brought three young men into my life, Sid, Peter, and Kit, and they introduced me to my Creator in the days of my youth. This theme of remembering the things of God, of course, flows all through Scripture, Old Testament and New. You might remember the Apostle Peter in his second letter. He's always calling his Christian readers to remember back to what God has said and what God has done in the past. And most recently, he says, remember back to the Lord Jesus Christ. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he writes, "This is now the second letter I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles." And then later in that chapter, verse 9, "Remember, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Peter's point is that just like the teacher in Ecclesiastes, the Christian life and journey is not so much a matter of what's new, but remembering what's old. So what could it look like for you right now, whatever you're going through, what does it look like for you to remember your Creator? Well, here's two practical tips to help you go about your day as you grow older and therefore closer to eternity. Tip number one. Laugh at what the world tells you, love what the Word brings you. Laugh at what the world tells you, love what the Word brings you. You see, the world will tell us in a series of self-centered, God-disappearing slogans, the best way to find yourself is to look inward. But God's Word reminds us the best way to find yourself is to look upward, beyond the sun, to the Son of God. Laugh at the world when it tells us your highest goal in life should be your happiness. Love how God's Word reminds us your highest goal all the days of your life is your holiness. The world will cry out to us, your individual quest for self-expression needs to be celebrated. Well, love how God's Word reminds us when you deny yourself and humbly serve others, you'll celebrate life to the full and flourish. Next time you hear worldly wisdom that's empty and foolish, whether it's being sprouted by an influencer or a sports star or a media celebrity or the rich and famous, well, laugh out loud if you can. And then grab God's holy word and ask for wisdom from above to correct such faulty thinking. Ask for wisdom from above to remember your Creator. Laugh at what the world tells us. Love what the Word brings us. Love how God, our Creator, knows what is best for His creation. Love how God, our Creator, knows the best way for us to build our lives. And it always involves the foundation on the rock of God's Word and not the sinking sand that the world offers us. How can you spend more time this coming week laughing at what the world says and loving what God's Word has to say, and therefore remembering your Creator? The second practical tip to help us remember your Creator as you grow older and therefore closer to eternity, well, the second tip is to follow the Creator's pattern and rest hard. Remember, the cry heard often across the book of Ecclesiastes is really to enjoy life and the gifts God brings to you. And one of those gifts that God, our Creator, gives to us is the gift of rest. See, God's pattern since Genesis 1 and 2 is for His creatures to work 6 days and to rest on the seventh. Now, without turning this Bible talk into a talk on Sabbath rest, which one day I might do a whole series on when I'm not resting, without talking about Sabbath rest in great detail, how do we help us all remember our Creator? I think it's helpful to contemplate His works, His creation, and His character on a weekly day of rest. So do you do that in the midst of your busy working life, if you're young enough to still be employed? Are you so busy making a living that you're not really living at all? Do you remember your Creator in the midst of your busy home life? Are you good at taking a day of rest to contemplate God's works, His creation, and His character? For when you do so, when you cease from your ordinary labor, you're automatically turning your attention to your Creator. You see, when you rest hard or rest well, you're really saying to God, "Dear God, I'm not self-sufficient. The universe and my workplace or my university campus does not need me to work or to study 6 days a week." You see, when you rest hard or rest well, you're really saying to God, "I need to remember that You are my Creator and that I'm the clay, but You are the potter. And therefore, I trust You to provide for me and that You'll take care of me and that You actually know what's best for my weary body and mind." If you're not in a good habit of good rest, then take some time out of work or the daily grind and do so soon and ask God for wisdom to help you to do better at resting hard and to contemplate God's works, His creation, and His character. Now, there's no special recipe for rest days apart from take one and take one weekly. Otherwise, you'll be weakly as you grow old. Remember your Creator. Laugh at what the world tells us. Love what the word brings us. And follow our Creator's pattern and rest hard. Two tips: laugh at what the world tells us, love what the Word brings us, and follow our Creator's pattern and rest hard. Right at the start of the end chapter, the teacher's calling us finally to live the God-centered life, making the God who made the universe and everything in it, including you and me, making Him our first and highest priority. Well, one more matter while we're talking about remembering, before I forget, one more Bible truth that brings great comfort to you and me, even as we grow older, one more Bible doctrine that relieves us all, perhaps, of the very real fear that one day you and I might lose our capacity to remember our Creator. Maybe you've seen a loved one ravaged by dementia and its various manifestations. Well, for the believer in Christ, we can be assured of this truth from Holy Scripture, that your Creator remembers you even if you do not always remember Him Even if your mind or your memory fails you as you get older, rest assured in the security of your salvation in Jesus. Your Creator promises to remember you even if you lose the capacity to remember Him. Allow these wonderful Bible verses to just wash over you right now and refresh you. So Psalm 71, verses 17 to 18. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and grey hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Or perhaps read the whole of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Or remember Jesus' words in John chapter 6, verses 39 to 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose, Jesus says, nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet, God says, I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. And then there's Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, including growing old and losing our memories, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Will you let Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 remind you? Though outwardly you might be wasting away, but inwardly you are being renewed day by day, being prepared for an eternal home with the Lord Jesus. And that, my friends, is never, ever meaningless.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.